You're listening to Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, where we talk about what it means to be en route with Jesus in our day-to-day life. Navigating life and faith in our complex and changing society is hard. Our goal is to keep you unterwegs with Jesus, moving forward as you follow God's calling on your life. Hi, I'm Mike Pecanato. I'm your host for Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, and today you are listening to episode 25. We took 1 week off earlier in the year, and so that means that today, this is 6 months since we have started working on Unterwegs, the En Route podcast. Today, we're going back to our guest from last week. It's part two of an interview with Envision Berlin's first intern, Rachel Norton. And at the end of the interview last week, we started touching on some of the culture shock pieces that Rachel was experiencing. And so today we're going to jump right back into that interview. And we're going to start by talking about kind of the two sides of culture shock that Rachel experienced. We'll go to that interview now. And you almost had to go through, it might not be completely accurate to say it this way, but almost that double culture shock, because your first culture shock was a COVID culture. It wasn't German culture. I mean, you're doing language school online. You can't get together with people and hang out. It's coming to the Pecanato's apartment to work and meeting with the team and going back to your apartment to do everything else other than grocery shop. And so that first culture shock was, this COVID culture is awful.
Exactly. And one thing that I remember clearly is I brought several masks that my mom had sewed me from the United States, and I was only able to wear those for a week. Mm-hmm. And then I remember getting the announcement that, okay, now in Germany, you're only allowed to wear medical masks. And then that even changed too, not even those paper medical masks. Now you have to wear the N95 masks.
Yep.
And so I remember going to the drugstore and trying to find them, especially when everybody all of a sudden went out to buy them. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, how do I deal with this?
And then we ordered a bunch.
And I was so grateful for that.
I never imagined when I ordered 100 masks that I would have to do that again and again, that I would have to keep ordering these large quantities of masks. Who knew? My word. And then that second culture shock was even, okay, now some of the restrictions are starting to lift. But how do I begin to meet people and what ministries can I participate in? Because even then things were so restricted. It wasn't like, great, now you can head to the Arab church and start doing childcare, because they couldn't meet in such a way that they could follow the rules. And it was
crazy. I remember in January, February, and even March, when things were still pretty tight with COVID restrictions, people would be like, Rachel, what are you doing? And my honest answer was, I have no idea.
I'm studying. I'm learning German.
Exactly. So I'm trying to learn German. And it's awkward to meet classmates on, I mean, it's not awkward to meet them online, but it just adds another awkward social dynamic when you have class on Zoom with these people. And you want to meet them in person, but at the same time, it's like, okay, how do I get everybody's phone number and contact information over Zoom?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to be that weird person that's like, hey, if anybody wants to meet up in person, I'm available. Send me your contact information. So it was just a lot of that, just taking risks, a lot of social risks.
Because often when people come, those language school, that month, that 2 months, whatever it is in language school, is a great time for them to meet new people, to start building a little social network. And like you said, that was all online for you.
Yeah. And then another thing too, outside of language school, that I'm really grateful for is Soul Space with our partners at the Limelight Collective. I think that is one thing that really got me through that season of the lockdown. And that season of really not being able to go out and make friends and get connected in the community.
Yeah, thanks for sharing some of that journey. I want to come back kind of to, for me, what part of the heart of that question was, is because while all of this is happening with the physical and emotional part of Rachel and the frustrations, there's spiritual impacts for you too when all of this is happening. How were you growing spiritually, or what were some of the frustrations you had during that time?
I definitely had a lot of conversations with God where I was angry, upset, frustrated. I don't think I've asked God why so many times in my life. I just remember thinking, okay, God, I'm here. Like, you allowed all of these things to fall into place with support raising, being able to get overseas, my apartment. That was also a huge blessing. And I'm like, but God, there's really nothing for me to do right now. I feel like I'm not doing anything meaningful. I mean, I'm just another body for people here to worry about. And through all of that, I remember just thinking, okay, it's just a season of growth. Like, even if I don't do anything super impactful during this period of time, I'm growing and I'm wrestling with God. And I'm getting to experience Him and see Him in different ways. I was coming out of a really difficult season, the end of 2020, with different mental health issues and even just that constant waiting and checking and being like, when can I actually start mentally preparing to leave? And so I just kind of felt like that season of growth in itself had never stopped. It was just continuing to go on and on and on. It's exhausting and it's frustrating, and it really does make oneself ask God why.
Especially like you said earlier, this Midwest mindset that you have, that I have, where so much is what can we do? And when you can't do anything, it's a forced time for us to come to God and say, God, why do you value me? What value do I have to you when I can't do anything? And to really learn that child's posture of what it's like to be loved by God when we can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really definitely takes away some of that legalism aspect of faith too. It's like, okay, God, you still love me and you're still wanting to use me, even though I feel like I'm not doing anything right now. It really was convicting for me to think about, okay, I don't need to do all of these works for God to really still love me, and even the people around me to still love me. That was something too I was nervous about. I'm like, oh my goodness, how are Mike and Alyssa going to see me? Because I'm literally not able to go out and build relationships with all of these people. It's just like, I can't really use some of the things I enjoy. I can't use my gifts right now. And that was really frustrating. But then even just learning too, the people around me, yes, they care about what I do and the things that I get done, but it's also extremely meaningful for them to see me grow in my relationship with the Lord and be challenged.
I think one of the things we've observed in you, that I've observed in you as well, is this reevaluation and evaluation of what is the value of community. And I don't think anything teaches you the value of community as much as not having it anymore. And so why don't you talk a little bit, if you're comfortable, about how community has increased in value for you while you've been here.
So even just going back a little bit, I remember I was in training online, of course, because it was 2020. And I was learning about what an Envision internship is, just going through cultural training and all of that. And I remember my small group leaders, they're like, Rachel, have you ever thought about what it's like when it's just you and God? Because they just wanted me to know that going overseas isn't going to be full of community, that there's going to be moments where it's just me and the Lord and nobody else to talk to, nobody else to ask for help. And I remember thinking, that's really scary, thinking about it just being God and I in my living room sitting and having a conversation. It literally made me feel just all of this panic coming on. And I think one of the reasons why I felt this panic when thinking about it just being God and I is because I came from a community that was so strong and people had such an influence on my relationship with the Lord. People were such a big part of that. So I remember after I was challenged with the thought, Rachel, what will it look like when it's just you and the Lord? I remember thinking, that's not going to happen because I'm a pretty social person and I'm always going to have community. That's something that I don't have to worry about. But then that thought just lingered with me for a while. And I was really thinking, okay, honestly, it's really scary to think about it just being the Lord and I, because community is such a big part of my life. Then coming overseas, it turned out that would be a big theme in my life, is it's just the Lord and I. And a lot of that too stems from living alone for the first time. I go home every day and it's just me. And even too with COVID, just not having those opportunities to build a big, strong community. It's just something that I don't have in this season of life.
In that, you've really learned what it's like to be you and God, and then also what value community has in more than just I'm surrounded by people.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I mean, because sometimes in the US, I think we define community as being surrounded or being with people. And when that's been taken away, you begin to really have to mine down to why is it important to me to be with people? And community begins to have almost a different value.
Yeah, I think when your community is taken away, you're going to be left with God, and you have to know how to navigate that relationship. Like, I was surprised when I got here in January during the lockdown. I'm like, okay, I don't have this community that I had back in the United States, but I have God. And now I'm able to see clearly that relationship. It's not as strong as it is without community. It's just this really beautiful just conviction that I have. As Christians, I think we should be able to maintain a relationship with God, even apart from community. I mean, community is definitely important, that's for sure.
But right.
It just needs to be at a healthy balance.
You talked earlier about the Limelight Collective and Soul Space and how important that was to you and being able to be with those people, having a community. One of the things that I know early on stretched you in that is that Soul Space is this artistic spiritual meditation. And while you do have some artistic leanings, you wouldn't have necessarily come and said, "Hi, my name is Rachel and I'm artistic."
No, I remember at first thinking about Soul Space and just being like, this is weird. It's something that seems hyper spiritual, something that I would definitely not see in the Midwestern United States back home. And I remember thinking, okay, if Alyssa Picanato attends this meeting, then it's probably safe.
Yeah, it pushes up against what we think is the right way to do some of our interactions with God and with the Bible. But how have you grown, not just in seeing it's safe, but maybe even into enjoying some of your interactions from an artistic point of view?
Yeah, so I remember my first few Soul Spaces that I attended, there's obviously that learning curve of how do I integrate faith and creativity? Because we're given these Bible passages and then we just create. We just see where the Spirit is leading us, what God puts in our hearts, and we can just make whatever we want to. And that's kind of scary to somebody that likes to have direction, somebody that likes to have stability. I mean, nothing about my life was stable at that point. So it's like, okay, now I just have to create whatever I want. And then even on top of decision fatigue, I don't know what I want to create.
Mm-hmm.
So even just thinking about, okay, what are some of the gifts that God has given me, some of the interests that he has given me that are more on the artistic side? Well, I guess, I mean, I wouldn't say they're more gifts. I would say they're more hobbies that God has given me, because I'm definitely a professional amateur. That's how I describe myself. Yeah, it was just really interesting for me to learn and even just experience how I can create something that has a lot of spiritual meaning, that is a reflection of my faith, and just learning how I don't need to necessarily express my self to God with words and with writing, with poetry and all of that. Like, I can draw, I can create, and even in a soul space circle, when we share our creations, like I can show something that is just a disaster. Or like I can literally use two colors of paint and mix them up in some weird way. But that's okay because there's meaning behind the art.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way that we're connecting with God and we're seeing him in different ways. And so I really appreciate that. One thing I like about, I mean, I'm not so much a musician anymore, but when I was in high school, I considered myself to be a musician. When I would make music, I felt like I could express my way or myself to God in a new way. And then I feel like with art, it's the same thing. Unfortunately, there's only so many words in our human vocabulary. So sometimes trying to express ourselves can be overwhelming or it can be constricting. It just feels like we can only go so far. But with art, whether it's painting, drawing, music, there's no limits. Like you're able to express yourself in different ways that you wouldn't have been able to express yourself otherwise.
And that's certainly new for you to be interacting with art in that way.
It is new. Yeah. But it's been amazing. It's been an amazing journey. Not only at Soul Space, but even to just walking around the city or looking at art galleries. Just art is such a special mode of communication, whether that's between humans or between humans and God. It's almost a window to the soul to some extent. And it's a way that you can really get to know somebody. Or I guess for me as a Christian, it's a way that I can really get to know God.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, because I think that's not just a way that you've grown. I think that's a hole that we often have in church understandings of art, because we look at art sometimes as something that is either religious or dangerous. I mean, those seem to be the two categories that many Christians place art in. And the idea of seeing art as a different way of communicating, a way of expressing things that we can't put into words is sometimes hard for people to grasp. And it's almost something that you have to learn through experience more than being taught.
Yeah. I think when I try to explain Soul Space to people back home, I just, after a long explanation, at the end, I'm just like, I can't describe it.
Yeah,
you have to. It's one of those things you just have to be at, you just have to go to. And then even one thing too about Soul Space is it's in English and German. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to understand the German being spoken, especially when people get really passionate about what they're talking about, or when they get really theological, or when they start using these words that you don't learn in language school.
Mm-hmm.
But even doing something like that in a second language adds a whole nother element too. And that's one thing, even too, just reading the scripture in German,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh my goodness, I'm getting something new out of this text that I wouldn't have gotten if I would have just read it in English. Mm-hmm. And even it's hearing people explain their art in German is really fascinating too. It's like this whole door has been open to expression, and it's like my ability to express myself has gone from 500 words to 1,000 words when you add another language to it.
What has been one of the biggest challenges of your internship?
I would say definitely coming here during the lockdown, during the height of the COVID pandemic. It's kind of bad. I want to say the whole thing has been really challenging. Just the internship in itself, nothing has gone to plan. I've learned so much about myself, just being away from friends and family. And it's almost like I'm just faced with myself. And that's definitely been the hardest part, I would say.
Mm. Would you do it again?
Would I do it again? Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's kind of hard to be like, yeah, I want to go through that season of growth again. Right. But at the same time, it's really easy to talk about the challenges, but God is so faithful. And even when it is really challenging, there's still so much joy in it. I don't think God takes us through challenging times without joy. So if anything, because of the joyful moments, it would be so worth it.
And maybe that's an unfair question. Would you do it again? But I think we all have times that we can look back at our life and say, that was a mess, or that was not what I expected, or that was really hard. But if somebody said, would you rather go back and have a do-over when you didn't have that? The growth that takes place during those times is like microwave in speed, or maybe slow cooker in the intensity. I mean, it's just different than if life continues as it is. And so, you know, are there times where I would say, boy, I would rather be able to do that over in the perfect set of circumstances? Yeah, sure. But what I would have learned, or how I would have grown through that, would have been completely different. And I don't know if I would give up those growths.
No, I wouldn't give up this season and do it differently. And even too, I remember at the end of 2020, seeing on social media people being like, oh, finally the year is over, we can move on, and it was the worst year of my life, blah 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 blah. They were just so glad it was gone. And I remember thinking, yeah, it was a really challenging year, but I'm grateful for it. It's kind of bittersweet in a way that it's over, because there is something about the growth that can make a challenge really special. And even to just through a challenge and the ways that we get closer to the Lord, that's a really special experience for me, at least. And if anything, I see this year as being special, mm-hmm. because, man, I've really had an opportunity to see God in different ways. So yeah, it's been challenging, but I wouldn't do it over again.
You're coming to the end of your internship time. You'll head back to the U.S. in January. But we're super excited that you've applied to come back and to serve as a resident here, which will also help you prepare for vocational service with the Alliance down the road, if that's something that God calls you into. If you were advertising for Envision Berlin right now, what are some of the things that you would say? Why should someone consider an internship with Envision or with Envision Berlin?
The one thing that I find special about Envision Berlin is you can do anything almost. There's not a lot of limitations on the way that you can do ministry, on the way that you can serve, the way that you can grow in your relationship with the Lord. I feel like sometimes ministry is just put into boxes. Like, you're going to do children's ministry, you're going to do high school ministry, you're going to do women's ministry, college student ministry. But that doesn't really exist here at Envision Berlin. You can come in with any interest, and you can pursue that interest and figure out, okay, what are the gifts that God has given me? That's something that did attract me to Envision in the first place, is I saw Envision as a place where I can really try to figure out what my calling is, the gifts that God has given me. And it's just that space. And that's something that I was really attracted to.
Rachel, is there anything else that you really wanted to maybe share with people about your internship or about Envision Berlin?
So one thing that I do want to say is, especially for my generation, going overseas can seem scary, unattractive. There's different factors that are put in the place of why somebody may not want to pursue international missions. And a couple of those things, for example, are student debt and parents. Parents not wanting to see their children go overseas, or just issues with those relationships. And that can be really heavy stuff to deal with. And even to other things like mental health disorders and just fear. I think fear is also a really big thing that scares people away. when I came to Envision Berlin, when I came to Berlin in January, I didn't see myself as qualified. I didn't see myself as somebody that is going to thrive, succeed. I'm like, okay, God, you're just sending me. I'm just Rachel Norton. I'm just this woman that just graduated from college. I'm in my early 20s. I really don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm just going with the flow, but I just trust that you're going to use me. And yeah, God's not looking for any specific person to send overseas. If God wants us to go overseas, he's going to pave a way. He is going to work amidst relationships with parents that are difficult. He's going to work to provide a way to pay for student debt. He's going to put all of the pieces in the place. I just want to encourage people that anybody, regardless, can go if that's what the Lord wants them to do.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing that. Even you said, you know, about in the area of mental health, I think there's such a temptation that we have sometimes to say, when I'm perfect, then I can go. And will be.
And that's the thing, like even with mental health, most of the time it's a lifelong thing. And we can't have that expectation of, oh, I'm going to go overseas when I'm done dealing with depression. I mean, first of all, like you want to make sure that your depression is in a good place when you go overseas. Like that's really important. But just because you struggle with it doesn't mean that you're not qualified to go overseas. Because man, like there is such a need for international workers to have some sort of experience with mental health. Like that is a huge way for international workers to connect with the people that they're working with. And even too, I've had amazing conversations with people here in Berlin about mental health. It's just something that brings us all together. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're still listening to Mike and I, and you have a mental health disorder and you want to serve the Lord in an international context, don't let that disorder discourage you.
Right. Rachel, thanks so much for your time. It's been great to have some time to unpack some of the things that you've been going through and share that with other people. I'm just excited for people to be able to listen to it.
Give the podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes. I think that's how it works. I'm not sure. Smash that like button.
It was so much fun for me to be able to interview Rachel for these two shows and to get a chance to hear things from her again and to give her a chance to process. I hope you enjoyed it. If you are listening to the show and you're thinking, boy, I would really like more information on what it means to serve with Envision, whether that's on a short-term team or as an intern, or perhaps even a longer time as a resident, I will make sure that there are links for you in the show notes. Please check those out and you'll be able to follow them and begin to collect some more information. You can, of course, always write to us. Our email address is also there. It's just podcast@envisionberlin.com. And you can also join our Discord server if you'd like to converse a little more closely with us. Thanks again for listening. Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, is a production of I Am Intercultural, a division of Exigent Communication, in partnership with Envision Berlin. Please like, share, and subscribe. Podcast music is by Mike Picanato.